It's the Beer Coasters World Tour. We start off in England and Scotland with beers from Innocent Gun, Brewdog, Coniston, Witchwood, and Samuel Smith's.
This is England. This life will shed you steel. This is England. This is how.
Let's crack it.
I am straight, craftus, erectus, right now.
Oh, don't drink that beer, that's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
I'm quite a few ounces into the show right now.
This is not a science class.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast 2012.
Woo!
A weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in not only American craft beer, but beers from coast to coast and everywhere around the globe.
Yeah!
I'm Mike from Boston. I'm your host this week. And with me this week is...
This year, first of all, how was the New Year's, guy?
Woohoo! Awesome.
Did you do anything exciting for New Year's Eve?
I drank Coronas at Paula Casino.
Oh. That fine Mexican craft beer.
Yeah.
And Don also brought a bottle of vodka that we had in our cabinet, and it was charcoal filtered vodka.
Yes.
I swear to God.
Must have been quite a hangover.
I've had something from like Iceland or something that wasn't actually too bad.
I'm like, really, where did you get this from? I mean, did someone bring it to our house or something? Because I know I didn't buy it.
All right. Enough about vodka and Corona. Let's talk about beer. So, we don't have a fermentation conversation this week, but we do have two beers apiece.
A whole six-pack this week.
This is our world tour month. We're actually going, this is kind of our European vacation, if you will. Mm-hmm. And this week, we're going to travel to England and Scotland. So, Toby, what do you have for us this week?
We're not actually traveling there, though. We're traveling.
Why can't we lie virtually to our listeners? They don't care.
Well, because if we were, then we'd be sitting in a pub.
They're
going
to hear the planes taking off and everything. I mean, come on.
Yeah, then we have to rent cars and get hotel rooms and all that stuff.
Drive on the other side of the road and all that. Yeah. Look right before we cross instead of left.
I'm going to get hit by a car if we do that.
Okay,
especially with all that drinking.
For my two beers that I'll be drinking tonight in Scotland, I am drinking the Innocent Gun Rum Cask.
Scotland.
Oak-aged beer. And in England, I will be drinking the Coniston Bluebird Bitter.
How about you, Dave? What are you going to try?
I got a... I think this one's from Scotland. It's the Brewdog Punk IPA.
Yeah. Sure is.
And then from, I guess, England would be my Witchwood Hobgoblin.
The Hobgoblin.
Going Harry Potter on that ass.
Seriously.
For my European tasting flights, I'm going to try, from England, I'm going to try Samuel Smith's Yorkshire Stingo.
Sounds like a dog.
And yeah, it does. And for Scotland, I'm going to try Brewdog as well, but I'm going to try the Paradox Macallan.
Whoa.
So I think first on our list here is Toby. So why don't you get right into it and drink some beer.
This is the Beer Coasters World Tour. Woo-hoo!
Okay, so this is Innocent Gun out of Edinburgh, Scotland. This is their rum cask beer aged in rum barrels. Comes in at 7.4% ABV. If you go to their website, innisandgun.com, that's INNISANDGUNN.com, they've got a little video of how they got started. But they don't really explain, you know, they don't say when they got started, and they don't really go into too much detail about the actual beers themselves. Because when you watch the video, it makes you think that this is some new creation. You know, it's like, is this a beer that's a rum, or is this like a distilled beer, or is this a brewed, you know, a beer brewed rum? You know, the way that they explain it is, it's kind of, it's interesting. And if anything, it sounds interesting. So But this is some sort of an ale that's been aged for 57 days. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think that's what you said earlier.
Yeah, 57 days prior to bottling in rum barrels. So,
hey, it's got signatures on the bottle, too.
I'm going to go ahead and crack it. So Beer Advocate calls this a Scotch ale or a wee heavy. And Rate Beer calls this an English strong ale.
How could it be English from Scotland? What the hell's wrong with those people?
Yeah, I'm sure the Scots aren't too happy about that.
English? You think this beer is English? You're fucking crazy.
You got your head up your arse.
All right, so I've got about a nice fat finger head, about almost a Yeti finger of head. It's off-white, leaning towards a yellowish color, a cream color.
This is the European Yeti. I think he's a little smaller.
Yeah, smaller in stature. It's a reddish color with like an orange highlight, sort of. Very clear, very small bubbles slowly surfacing. On the news, it smells...
Rum-pa-bum-bum.
It's there. It's like half and half of like, a typical British beer of that toasted caramely maltiness. But then there's also the rum. So it's like 50-50. Yeah, you can really smell the wood.
You said wood.
It smells good. There's like a cinnamon vanilla. Yeah, that smells good.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Whoa.
Man, I really wish this was a video podcast just to see the expressions on our faces half the time.
Wow. It's a rum beer.
Like Captain Morgan kind of thing?
It's a rum flavored beer, I should say.
Really? Get a lot of those rum flavors in there.
So can you pour this like in some Coke and be good to go?
Well, it's pretty light. Like it's a little thin on the mouthfeel. There's not a whole lot of carbonation on the tongue. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's no burning sensation. It's not like you're taking a shot of rum or you're having a rum and Coke. It's like a water. I would say it's like a watered down rum and Coke. It's like a rum and Coke that's been sitting there for an hour, letting the ice melt. So it's a little watered down. So you get the rum flavors, but it's not, you don't really get the alcohol. It leaves you with a very somewhat sticky aftertaste, mouthfeel, a little bit of that rum. It's like an earthiness and almost like a grassiness, but not like fresh cut grass, almost like, I don't know.
Like bark?
I don't want to say like hay or wheat or something like that, but wow. This is unlike anything I've had before.
That's saying
Mike,
a lot.
Mike, do you like rum?
I love rum, yeah. I like the darker rums. I like the kind of rich, darker.
Like Myers?
Well, I'm not... The spiced rums are okay, but I like just kind of dark aged rums. Because they just seem kind of smoother and get more of that caramely sugar in there, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I wonder how this would be on cask.
Just a kind of nice, kind of a richer, creamy.
Yeah, it's very creamy right now as it is. It's got some great flavors. It's not over rummy, you know? At first sip, you're like, whoa, I can taste that rum. And there's a little bit of the toasted grain. A little bit of that, like, toasted caramel, toffee flavors. There's absolutely no bitterness at all. Mm. And on the nose, really sweet vanilla. Yeah.
What do you think about, like, food-wise, if you were to pair something with it? Don't say haggis.
Get a little more here. No. I don't know. I mean, this you could have this with like a steak, you know, like a hearty meat would go good. I wouldn't even call this an after dinner sipper. It's very easy drinking. It's very light, nice flavors. Maybe some pork. This might go good with like some pork chops or something like that. Ham.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd say maybe some red meats. You know, nothing too crazy with the steaks, you know, whatever. Like maybe a nice filet mignon.
Can't go wrong there.
Yeah, there's something about the nose. There's this, I don't know. It makes you think of, or it makes me think of like a, like an old, I don't know, like a wood carving shop or something like that, where, I don't know, like maybe a barrel room or something like that, where it's, you get the smell of the rum in the air, and that's kind of what you're getting. It's not overpowering, like you're smelling a shot of rum or, you know, a glass of rum. Anyway, so, Rate Beer gave this an 80 out of 100. Beer Advocate users, 82. The Brothers with a 90.
Ooh.
So this is InnisandGun.com is their website. Straight out of Scotland. The rum cask. Beer aged in rum barrels, baby.
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Well, anyhow, I'm going to take my ass over to England right now. And I think, as I put it earlier, go Harry Potter on that ass. I got the Witchwood Hobgoblin beer. This is actually kind of a scary-looking bottle. It's got this creepy-looking elf, gnome, archery
goblin
guy with a... Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's got this busted-up axe and everything. And anyhow, it says it's an imported dark English ale. The style on this, they call it a ruby beer. I think one of the websites called it a bitter. ABV on this is 5.6. I have no idea what the IBUs are, and I do not know what it cost me because someone gave this to me for free for the holidays. They, nice. Well, it's kind of funny because they were going to like, well, let's get Dave a bunch of beer because he likes beer, but they tried to pick out beer that wouldn't be all that great because I thought that would be funny. So I got this, and I got some Pabst Blue Ribbon, and I got some banana bread beer, and I got the Hobgoblin, and I also got the chocolate stout. So I actually got some good beers up in here.
They're trying to keep you on the wine side. They're like, ah, what's this beer crap? I'm going to keep stick with my wine.
So anyhow, if I remember, I've had this one a few times at like English pubs. And
yeah?
Yeah.
I think I've had I got this at Cost Plus one time.
Well, I know they have it at BevMo. I saw it there tonight when I was over there at BevMo. So if you're at BevMo, I'm pretty sure you can pick it up there. I'll crack this open.
Crack that bitch.
Did you say you didn't have the information on it?
What information? Oh, no,
I do. ABV and stuff?
Yeah, ABV, I already said, was 5.6. It was made with Styrian, Goldings, and Fuggles hops. The malts are pale chocolate and crystal malt. And the color is actually a kind of an amber color. I can smell this all the way from here. It's not even up to my nose yet. Definitely very bready and malty. I'm smelling it.
It's a crazy day.
Yeah, all I smell in this thing is bread. Like, wow.
You any kind of toffee at all?
No, but there's definitely
I think I remember that in the beer, and I don't know if it was in the aroma or the flavor, but
there's definitely like some sort of sugar, kind of something like maybe toffee, maybe caramel. Definitely smells like carbs, though. You know, that's for sure.
Smells like carbs.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I just noticed that Crazy Dave is using illegal glassware.
Illegal? Oh man!
You know what? Well, okay. For the listeners, I'm drinking out of a pint glass that's labeled Coors Light. The cool thing about this glass is that
it's cold. It turns blue.
Yeah. You know it. That tells you that, hey, you're drinking this beer at the proper temperature for Coors Light. The mountains should be blue if you're drinking their lager. You know, you got to drink that really cold.
It's not the proper temperature for Hobgoblin, though.
Well.
Which is probably, what, like 50 degrees or something crazy like that. They have a beer called Dog's Bullocks.
What's a Dog's Bullocks?
It's balls.
Oh, damn. I that's just what I want. I want to drink a beer called Dog's Balls. I mean, we can go back to our dead hooker beers and stuff.
Well, Hobgoblin could potentially sound like a sexual favor.
Well, this doesn't really taste like any kind of a sexual favor, and I definitely wouldn't say that. But you know, it is definitely very bready, like a biscuit or something.
Are we a little bit lighter on the censorship since we're on our European tour? do we let a few more things slide now? Since we're in Europe, we're all topless this episode. By the way,
oh yeah, we're gonna get some nudity on this episode. Awesome. Where are the chicks at? No, this is, I don't know, there's not really too much in the flavors. I mean, it's a little malty, a little caramelly, biscuity, I guess, and it's not bitter at all, which is what I expected, because, like, you know, it says here, oh, the bitter style, you know, the style is like a bitter or a ruby, and when I hear ruby, I think of red, and when I think of reds, I think of bitter, and when I see the bitter style, I think of bitter, and it's not that at all, so, you know, I guess it's more the European style or the English style of beers where they're not really all that bittery, like the, you know, these California beers that I'm used to or whatever. Well, anyhow, Rate Beer comes in at this with a 66 and a 77th of style. The beer advocate users say that this is an 83. Didn't they used to have like an A- or a B or a C?
Yeah they just if changed you were a listen, couple weeks
if
ago.
You listen to our show, we talked about it.
Well, I was kind of busy over New Year's.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah. It's been the holidays and everything.
Whatever.
So anyhow, I guess that would be about a B or so. And the Austin Brothers actually chimed in on this with the 91. Oh. You can check out their website. It's http://www.brewdog.com.
Wow, that was necessary.
Not Brewdog. This is Hobgoblin.
Oh, damn it. Did I read the wrong? You're right. I forgot to
are all your it. Are all your it's, ingredients
it's
wrong
too? It's witchwood.co.uk.
Yeah, I was gonna
say witchwood. W-Y-C-H.
Did you pair it with anything?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Pairings on this, you know, this one's tough because you know what? This might go good with something.
I've always
like,
said some kind of meat pie was always a good choice.
I was actually gonna say like a meat and potatoes kind of dish. You know, just like, you know, like a sirloin with some mashed potatoes and maybe some mac and cheese or something. But I'm just your typical plain run-of-the-mill meat and potatoes kind of thing. So, yeah, that would probably go good. Or maybe French fries. Hobgoblin, Witchwood.
I believe here they're called chips.
Chips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chips full.
Chips. No, not potato chips. The chips.
Yeah. Chips.
Chips.
That's all we got.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
We've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
I'm here in jolly old England, and I'm going to try Samuel Smith's Yorkshire Stingo. This is from a Samuel Smith's old brewery out of Tadcaster, North Yorkshire, England. Their
Do they have a new brewery?
Is, I don't know. It's a good question. It'd be kind of silly if they didn't, because then there'd be really no need to call the other one old. It'd be obvious it was old, right?
It's just really old.
Anyway, their website is samuelsmithsbrewery.co.uk. This is an English strong ale aged in oak casks for over a year.
Wow.
The ABV on this beer is 9%, and I don't know what the IBUs are. Couldn't find that. But the reason why I picked this beer is because back we did a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I did a beer from Pretty Things called St. Boltofstown. And this is one of the beers that basically inspired him to do the St. Boltofstown beer. And I thought, well, that'd be a great beer to try to kind of see kind of, you know, where he got his inspiration from. And, you know, so I figured I saw this on the shelves. Well, what the hell? If you're curious to listen to that review of the St. Boltofstown, you can go back to the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. That was back in, way back in October of 2010.
Whoa. Really?
Anyway.
Oh, wow, that was a long time ago.
I'm going to crack it. Ingredients on this one, pretty straightforward. Water, malted barley, cane sugar, hops, and yeast.
So they specifically added sugar to this?
Yep.
That's not normal, huh?
It's not really abnormal to add certain sugars. I mean, they'll add, I mean, there's Belgian candy sugars, there's, you know, sugar, but sometimes they'll use molasses or honey. So it's not that uncommon to add sugar. Kind of bump up the ABV. And I don't know if I mentioned, I did say this one was 9%, right?
Yeah.
So the color is kind of a cloudy copper color, little orange kind of at the bottom of the glass. I got about a, just under a Yeti finger. Might be a European Yeti finger of head. And I could smell
female Yeti size.
I could smell the oak cask. Like, I could smell the oak as soon as I pop the cap. And on the nose, I'm getting like a dark fruit and some wood. Like, really kind of like rich raisin, some caramel in there too. You get like the raisins and maybe even like a little bit of like prune. There's some toffee and some vanilla. You get that woodiness though, that kind of just, you know, the woodiness and some of the alcohol. I'm not sure what type of casks. They don't say that this was, you know, like a rum cask or a brandy cask or anything like that. So this may be just casks that they built, not necessarily have another, you know, alcohol in it previously.
I'm not sure.
All kinds of stuff kind of popping up on the nose though. Even a little cherry now with like a cinnamon.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Get a little bit of cherries and like the vanilla. You can really get an oak flavor without it feeling too, you know, you get that little bit like too much oakiness. This is kind of a cherry oak. It's not really heavy. That kind of a medium mouthfeel, but it's starting to get that little bit heavier. And I'm getting kind of a caramel at the end of the sip. There's not a lot of bitterness. There's some tartness that's coming through, but there's not a lot of bitterness. I'm actually surprised. Because I was actually expecting this to be a little bit thinner. Because I was expecting kind of these European beers to be, you know, not as big as some of the American styles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little things going on here, though. Spices and fruits and the wood. It's interesting. If I were going to pair this with something,
some fish and chips.
Tough one. You could. I mean, I almost want to pair it with dessert, but I think like a beef stew would be pretty good.
Yeah.
With something like this. As long as it had some good kind of strong vegetables in there, whether you want to, you know, like parsnips or some really sweet carrots or, you know, that type of thing in the stew would be pretty good with this beer. It's really interesting. And the more I sip, I'm getting like different things. I swear I'm even getting like a little bit of a anise at the end too.
Oh wow.
But if you get a chance, check this out. This is a pretty regular offering from Samuel Smith. It's Samuel Smith's Yorkshire Stingo, and that website again is samuelsmithsbrewery.co.uk. Check them out. Oh, Rate Beer rates this 97 out of 100, and wow. Beer Advocate users rate this a 91, and the Ahlstrom Brothers a 90.
Wow. Very nice.
high ratings all across the boat.
We'll see what Beer Coaster Mike has to say about that, though.
But you'll have to wait till last call.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Thanks. Get that. Okay, this is Toby out in Las Vegas.
Hey, Toby.
No. I'm sorry, in England.
Dude, where'd you go?
I'm in Coniston, England.
There you go.
That's where I am right now.
Is that the rich part of England? It sounds like it.
No, it's actually north of Liverpool, so it's almost into Scotland. So, this is Coniston Brewing Company, the Bluebird Bitter. It's an English bitter, 4.2% ABV, although I think their website says 3.6. Yeah. But the bottle says 4.2, so that's what I'm going with. This is a 1 pint, 9 ounce bottle.
Sorry, I just logged onto the website here, and it says download pump clip. What is a pump clip?
The pump clip is basically just a label. It's like what you would put over, like on the keg. Like say you got a keg, it would be on there, or maybe even
instead
on a tap
handle. Instead
of a tap handle,
it's just a clip.
It's circular, and it shows you all the information. It looks like the label.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But it has all the information about the beer around it. So I'm using an English pint glass. Check it out. Oh, yeah, baby. True pint. This is very light in color. Let's see if I can get it all the way up.
You use Maris Otter, which I'm a big fan of that malt in brewing. And so I'm curious to see how this one is going to be.
Maris Otter is very British, isn't it? Isn't that like pretty typical for an English beer?
It's definitely Otter? One. Yeah, it's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I didn't spill a drop.
Ooh, Toby can pour a beer. Look at that! It looks like a marshmallow on top of that beer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely sticking out over the top.
Oh, it's puffed up.
Very light in color.
You can blow that off with like they do like in the old school Western movies. Like
Maris Otter is actually listed as an English thoroughbred winter barley.
A horse?
Nice. So yeah, the it's a single malt. It uses Challenger hops. Just like Mike said, it uses the Maris Otter malt as well as pale malt and crystal malt. It is bottle conditioned, so I do have a little bit of sediment that's beginning to churn up with the medium carbonation. I've got a fat Yeti finger of head on there. It's dissipating very slowly. The body color is very yellow with orange, like a yellow orange color. On the nose, through the head. Ooh, it's got a little bit of stank to it.
Stank?
Yeah.
We talked about horses and it's got a bunch of head on it, man. I hope it doesn't taste like horse piss.
This ain't no Budweiser.
That's it. Their podcast will get shut down instantly. Hear that? That's the AB police.
I'm sure someone over in England or Europe or something's got to make some sort of a crappy beer.
Well, yeah. It's called the Hobgoblin.
We'll talk about that last call.
Snap! Okay, so on the nose, it's very strange. You know what I smell? Wet towel.
Like the one that like sits in the bathtub like for a couple days?
Yeah, that like musty wet towel.
Dirty laundry.
Like a
gym socks.
Yeah. Or when you don't pull the yeah.
I don't want to say like gym socks because it's gym socks would be really nasty. It's not that nasty.
So like Mike said, like you throw in the like a towel in the washing machine and you forget to put it in the dryer.
Yeah, how it gets that kind of almost a moldy.
Are you sure you didn't get a bad
stale
beer?
Smell?
It's possible.
I don't know.
It's happened very often with me trying to get English beers. I can't tell you how many.
Should have got a Hobgoblin, Toby.
I mean, the head is sustaining well. It's got some lacing going on. Yeah. It's got nice carbonation.
Maybe it's just a stank-ass beer.
It's a brown bottle, so don't have
so
to worry so much
about their beer
being light-struck. Yeah. All right, well, I'm not getting much else on the nose.
They say that
there's
they
a little bit of a sweetness, tart, like a honeysuckle.
The website says that they're actually tart hops, which I've never heard that described before.
Maybe they mean citrusy hops.
Taking a sip, yeah.
It's bitter. Yeah.
Wow.
It's metallic-y. It's like borderline lager.
Metallic-y lagers.
But it has now a very dry, fruit. Very bitter, nice lacing.
Oh.
I like it.
Toby likes the stank.
Yeah, there. That nose, it's not very pleasant, but on the tongue, I mean, or, you know, after sipping it, yeah, I mean, it's got like that stale bitterness. There's a little bit of a graininess, very earthy hop. Aftertaste is like a dry, bitter toastiness. I don't know what this reminds me of. It reminds me of something, and I don't want to. It's not like Heineken. It's nowhere near Heineken, but.
I mean, is there a bit of like oxidation in there? I mean, it's possible that it's not fresh.
Or, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh, they actually do have it.
I think this was on purpose.
The IBUs, they say, is only like a 36 to 38.
Did you get IBUs?
What's written, it says the bitterness rating is a substantial. That's funny. They think that that's substantial, 36 to 38.
Send these guys a Mary Ambassador.
Ah, that was English. They're so funny.
Yeah, just bitter, toasted grain. A little. The sweetness is very mild. It's like a honeysuckle kind of sweetness. But it's not. It's actually not bad. It reminds me almost like a German lager, almost, but like more bitter than metallic. There is a slight metallic-iness to it, you know, in the aftertaste there's a little bit of astringent bitterness, but not too bad. For a food pairing, I would go with something like sweet and creamy, maybe like a cream corn
cream
soup
corn.
Or something like that. Like,
that's hardly an entree.
that's like the side dish that you don't eat.
Or you know that, you know, like if you go to like a barbecue joint, how they have the creamed corn as a side dish, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that. Something like that. Maybe. So,
nothing else.
Maybe just some barbecue.
Cream corn. I like that.
Some cream corn, some barbecue.
And one rib.
Yeah. He's gonna.
How much I get for one rib?
He's gonna pair the rib with the beer.
Yeah. All right. So, Rate Beer gave this a 74. Beer Advocate users 87. The Alstrom Brothers a 94.
Everyone's all over the board on this one.
Yeah.
You can find more information about Coniston Brewery. Oh, they've been brewing since 1995. I didn't say that.
Oh.
Check out their website, Coniston Brewery. .com.
Well, it's got nothing on Samuel Smith. Yeah. 1758. Eat that.
Bitches.
Oh.
And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
And be wasting our time, jeez.
Yeah.
Crazy Dave
no
part
duh. Duh. Well, I'm back and I got me some of BrewDog Punk IPA.
Where are you at now?
Where are you then?
I'm in Scotland!
That's right.
And I'm going to be drinking the Punk IPA.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the website's actually pretty cool. I mean, I think these guys, they sound like my kind of brewery. I mean, they've got like Trashy Blonde, Hardcore IPA, Punk IPA, yeah. Bitch Please.
Yeah, these guys are a bunch of punks. I think that's.
Dude. And that's if you go to the website and you look at it, like some of the videos and stuff, like you can't understand a word they say. They're all like, you know, like one guy's got like a checkered like shirt with a solid tie and, you know, plugs that are like the size of a half dollar in his ears. I mean, these guys are definitely like the badasses of like Scotland or something brewing over there. So, you know, hopefully their beer stands up to it.
We'll see.
Yeah.
This is their kind of a regular part of their regular run, right?
It looks like it. You know, it's on their list of their our beers. So you can get it in the glass bottle, or you can even get it in a can, according to their website, which is kind of fun, I guess. Well, anyhow, this is BrewDog. This is an IPA. The ABV is 5.2%, so it's a little bit lower than what we're used to. The IBUs are at 45. And this bottle is, what is it? 6.4 ounces. It cost me $6.49. And, I'm gonna open this up.
Yeah, I think when I picked up my four BrewDog beers, they were each $3.
Whoa, shit. That's
a little aggressive on the pour there.
Yeah, don't be aggressive on the pour with this. I've got like a yeti hand of head.
I say only. Okay, it's only three fingers. Yeti.
You've stepped up in the glassware there too. So we're.
Well, yeah. Now I'm at a stone pint glass. Yeah. This, wow. This is way too much head. You know, and I'm kind of scared about this beer because it's really light. I mean, this is like a piss yellow. I mean, it's like a really light colored beer.
Piss yellow.
And it's not like Corona yellow, but it's just a tad darker. Little
Corona's not even yellow. Corona's
it's actually
like...
not bitter for. I mean, the IBUs are at 45. That's not bitter for an IPA at all. So I'm curious
that's what
about
I'm saying.
This one.
It's low. It's low alcohol, low bitterness. You know. Now, interestingly, though, even though it is low alcohol, low bitterness, it's got a lot of scent. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the nose. It's.
You know what's funny is it doesn't say IPA on the bottom. It says.
It does say IPA.
It says it says IPA, but then read on the bottom, it says classic pale ale.
No, it's a postmodern classic pale ale.
Ah, postmodern, yes.
So we're talking about, now we're going back into modernity with this beer. But anyhow, the smell on this, this is really amazing. This is really interesting because I was not expecting this at all. You know, when I think of IPAs, you know, I'm used to the, you know, like the citrusy hops, you know, just things like that. I'm smelling this and I get pineapple. I'm getting mango. I mean, this smells like I'm about to drink what do they call those? Not Hansen's, but, like, you know, the guayava juices that you can get. What are those things called?
With all the nectar of whatever different fruits and
that's what this smells like. It smells like a tropical fruit thing. Wow, like there's pineapple. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
Guava, mango. I think this is a chick beer. I can fill this back up here. Still getting a lot of head, even though I'm adding more to it. Now, there's a little bit of sweet bread in there. This smells really good. I'm real excited to take a sip here. So I'm going to do that now.
So he calls it a chick beer and he's really excited to drink it. All right. That's cool. We accept all forms of beer coasterism here.
And they're using those kiwi hops. So.
Okay. It's definitely much more... It's definitely got a bigger nose than it does a taste. It's a very light beer. It's almost like drinking water. Wow. There's a little bit of a bite on the tongue. You know, but all that fruitiness, it just kind of falls apart when I drink this. I was really excited about it. Now I'm just kind of, it's definitely a very light beer. I mean, this is not, nothing's in your face about this. I mean, the subtleties are still there with some of those fruits, you know, but when I smelled that, like they said, that pineapple and mango, I was expecting like that sweetness to really come through and kind of still be there on the taste and it's not, you know, the mouth feels real light. The fruits are kind of there. But yeah, this, wow. I wish it would not have fallen apart as much as it did. It still does have a little bit of sweetness and I mean, there's definitely no bitterness in this at all, though. I mean, it's real mellow. You know, though, I think if you did want to introduce...
It kind of surprises me from these guys.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, you know, these guys look all badass on their website, and it's called the Punk IPA, and I'm expecting, you know, like some Sid Vicious-looking fucker to come out here and, you know, throw something in my face. But...
And they do have a lot of those type of beers, but apparently this isn't one of them, because I know they do
have
strong beers.
But. Yeah, if I were to picture something, like, it'd be Cyndi Lauper dancing in front of me.
Nice.
That's more like a
Cyndi Lauper music. That's just so I remember later.
You know what that song She Bop's about?
It's about homosexuality.
It's about girls diddly, dude.
Nice.
Anyhow, side note. Wow. Ah.
Food pairing. What you got?
Food pairings. Ah, wow. You know, you definitely could not have something. You could not have something strong with this at all. If you did, I think you would overpower this beer. So you gotta keep it, easy. Vegetarian dish would probably be something, you know, that this would work with. Asparagus, maybe.
Nice.
Maybe some broccoli. I don't know, but nothing strong, you know. You might be able to get away with some Chinese, shrimp food kind of stuff. I don't know, shrimp and lobster sauce might do all right with this. Anyhow, rape beer comes. Really? Rape beer rates us a 97 and a 96 to style.
Wow.
The Beer Advocate guys got this a little bit better here. You know, the users, I feel like I give you guys some props here. They came in with this at an 86. And the brothers, of course, you know, haven't even made their way to that part of the country. So,
It's one of those things, man. I'm telling you, they get a break because they're BrewDog. I'm telling you, people see BrewDog, they go, "Oh no, it's BrewDog." If you look at all the Stone beers, not including collaborations, the Stone beers, I bet you all of them are 90 and above. Just because, even if.
People aren't big fans of Arrogant Bastard. Check that out now.
Well, you know my opinion on Stone. I mean, I know they make some good beers and they make some pretty crappy beers, but you know, yeah. And that might be the same with BrewDog. I'm definitely gonna have to try out a few more of their beers. You know, but this, you know, it definitely had potential when it started out. And I'll talk more about that at last call. Anyhow, the website for this is www.brewdog.com, which kind of worries me because, all the other beers have, .co.uk, and these guys don't. They've got, a U.S. website, so I don't know, but I'm a little suspect of these guys now. Anyhow, check it out, Punk IPA, Brewdog.
Crazy Davis suspect.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
I'm here in Scotland.
And my beer is BrewDog, and it's the Paradox McKellen.
That's right.
And this is from a BrewDog brewery, obviously. And they are out of Fraserburgh, Scotland. Fraserburgh. That's the American way to say it, I guess. Fraserburgh.
Fraserburgh.
Fraserburgh. Yeah. Their website is www.brewdog.com. We've probably said this two or three times already.
Yeah.
This beer is an Imperial Stout, and it's retired. Can't get this anymore.
So don't look for
it. Unless you're special, like me.
I look for it. They didn't have it.
The ABV on this beer is 10%. The IBUs are a 70. Malts. I'm going to crack it, actually, while I talk about some of these ingredients.
Right, please do. Please do.
About of the beer. So, the malts. They use Maris Otter, Dark Crystal, Caramalt, Chocolate Malt, Roast Barley. For hops, they use Galena, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah. Galena. Galena. Yeah, we've done Galena.
Brambling Cross. And for what they call the twist, they age this beer for 6 months in 1987 Macallan sherry casks.
Wow. 1987.
I think my grandma used to drink sherry.
All right. It's strange. I want to say it's black, but it's basically as dark as you can get without being black. There's some...
Like Coke color?
Yeah, exactly like Coke. And actually looking up through the glass, it looks like Coke. Very little to no head whatsoever. Little film on the glass there. On the nose, chocolate fruits.
Chocolate fruits? Like cherry chocolates?
Like cocoa. Tastes like... it smells like a raisinette.
Hmm.
That's like the first thing I get. It just smells like a raisinette. You can smell a little sherry in there.
Yeah, sherry's got a really funky, funky taste to it.
A little alcohol on the nose. Very little, though.
You said it was 9%, though, right?
It's got almost like a whiskey, a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of chocolate. You get the fruit. This is 10%.
Wow. I expect that you'd be able to smell some alcohol on it.
Yeah, a little bit. But honestly, I mean, the first thing, like, it smells like a raisinette.
Hmm.
A little oak in there.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's a little milk stout-like. It's got a little smokiness and some chocolate in there. A little vanilla. And a very kind of mellow oak barrel. It's not overpowering at all. But there's some little bit of kind of tannin type, you know, I'm guessing it's from the sherry, like on the tongue.
A little something to dry your mouth.
Then there's kind of creamy, kind of buttery woodiness in there too. But it's pretty subtle. And now the oak just kind of hangs on the tongue a little bit. It's funny because on the nose, just raisinette. It's just kind of screaming at me. It's actually more in the taste than there is in the aroma. All that stuff, I think, is coming out a little bit more.
That's the exact opposite of my brew dog.
It tastes like a milk stout that kind of have, you know, was aged for a little while. It's interesting. Not much lacing going on here. And there, like I said, there is no head at all. Carbonation's kind of subtle. Almost gone. There's not much carbonation in there. If I'm going to pair this with something, I'd go with dessert on this one. So let's go with some kind of berry tart, maybe like a blackberry tart or something, or even like a blackberry cheesecake or something.
Because
I like this kind of like milk stout quality to this would be kind of good with a tart, but something that's got some creaminess. Yeah, if you get a chance. I would say check this one out, but you're not going to find it. So
too bad.
So too bad. Oh, almost forgot. All right, well, I'm at it here. The pint ratings for the Paradox was the rate beer rates this 98 out of 100 and 76 to style, which I thought was interesting. And Beer Advocate users rate this an 89, and the Ahlstrom brothers have not weighed in on this Scottish gem.
It's a dream of the week.
Ken's Humor says, "Beer doesn't make me fat. It makes me lean. On the bar, and sometimes against the wall." Tweet of the week,
yeah! Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
Backwash.
Well, hello, and welcome to Backwash. Wash.
If you'd like to hear the latest sayings, please press 1 now.
Why don't
like
you
to leave your own backwash?
Why don't you just tell us what you want? Okay, here we are in Backwash, our European Backwash. The first one
is
from Sweden. And
really.
This is from Malt Porter, and this is just kind of an update on from our Swedish beer geek clan. He's letting us know that that our beers are on the way, and we really, really do appreciate that. Malt,
yes, thank you, Malt Porter, David.
Which I don't know what you guys call them in Sweden. We call them post offices here. I know in England they call them post shops or whatnot. I don't know what they call them in Sweden. But anyway.
Well, whatever it is, he gave us a tracking number and a website so we can look and see where our beer's
at.
We're
going to follow our beer, and hopefully it's here soon so that we can fit it into our world tour. So
it's going to come to England?
No. It's going to come to your house. So you better be off the tour.
I gotta come home. We get the beers.
Better get your ass back home.
Then I'll go back to Sweden.
Fly to Sweden
and
for it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is gonna be one expensive ass month. I'm telling you.
All right. So we have a little bit more backwash, don't we?
Yeah. This comes from Tony. He says, "Okay, guys, I need your help. He was at New Year's Eve party.
Beer coasters to the rescue."
He wanted to bring.
Oh yeah, I can help out with New Year's Eve parties, but I can bring the little and the like little things that like pop out, and little hats, and, you know.
Yeah.
Noisemakers, poppers.
Yeah.
Tony's like, yeah. Let me finish. Yeah.
So Tony wanted to bring something special, so he saw the Tahankit from Dogfish Head, and he watched the Sam Calagione's quick sip clip about it. Thought, hey, this would be perfect for the occasion. He couldn't have been more wrong. So apparently he was very disappointed with this beer. He brought it to the party. Other people tried it. They said it smelled like tuna. They said it smelled like
fishy.
What else did they say?
Unrecognizable fruit,
funky spices. He ended up dumping more than half of it down the drain. He says he never dumps beer down the drain. So he's thinking, is he wrong?
Good rule, you know, not to dump beer.
Did he get a bad
batch? Well, I mean,
if
it's horrible, I don't mind dumping it down the drain.
Yeah, if you can't finish it, you know, or if you wake up the next morning and you find half a bottle sitting there, you might as well dump it.
Well, I know Toby will power through, like, a bad beer. I won't.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I got a problem.
But, you know, going back to this, where they talk about the weird, unrecognizable fruit and funky spices, that absolutely does not surprise me. I actually, when I read this little thing about what Tony had said, I went to the Dogfish Head, you know, website, and they have a little video about it and what they did to make this beer. I mean, they went to Egypt, they got Egyptian dates, they got Egyptian spices, they got Egyptian stuff to make this beer. You know, so, yeah, it's probably unrecognizable to the Western world,
right?
You know, these fruits and these spices, because they're not
indigenous. We covered this.
We did.
Back in, what was it, Toby? It was December.
I think it was December of 2010. In one of our shows during December of 2010, we talked about it on the, because it was from the Brewmaster show that Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head was doing, and they talked a lot about the Tahankit on there. Yeah. So
and we did like Dave was saying, you know, they showed where they got all these ingredients. And to me, like, my theory with this whole thing with the fishiness and the unrecognizable fruit, these dates that they used are not going to probably taste like any type of dates you've tried before. and the yeast. They actually collected yeast. And if you saw they collected this yeast,
flies and-
this is going to be some strange. I guarantee this type of yeast that they use has got some funky flavors going on. I have no doubt yeast could attribute to be an attribute of that fishy flavor.
Well, I think the way from what he was saying about the, because I saw the little clip on the yeast collection, like they actually like collected. So I'm sure they got some wild yeast.
It was all wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all wild yeast.
No, I mean, not just wild, but I mean, like just off the wall. Like what the?
They got some funk. They got some serious funk in that beer. I haven't tried that beer yet, but now I don't know if I want to. Tony, if you'd like me to, I'll take one for the team here.
Send us a bottle.
I'll review it on the show.
I'll check it out.
You know, but saying this, you know, this kind of thing doesn't surprise me because there are beers out there that are funky like this. I mean, Charlie and I went to one of the Stone, you know, brew fests or whatever, anniversary things or whatever, and they had the Maharaja, and that tasted like salt water. It was seriously nasty, you know. Yeah. So there are some beers that are just out there that just are not for.
Oh, I wanted to mention too. Yeah. In this beer, they use stuff that you don't normally have in beers. Like they used salt, they used oregano. These can add some very funky flavors to a beer. These aren't the normal spices and adjuncts that you would use, you know, in a beer. So
I don't know what target they're going for, what type of beer drinkers are going for. I mean, you'd have to be very...
Well, I think they were trying to reproduce a beer that was Egyptian in that kind of style.
Like 5,000 years old, you know. That's what they drank back then. That was what was available.
And it may be appealing.
I understand.
It may have been an appealing flavors back then. I mean, and honestly, I mean, with all the traveling we're doing here in our world tour, there's all kinds of strange flavored things. I mean, they have chicken flavored chips, you know?
Yeah. Chicken flavored crackers. So
but, I mean, that's just one element it's not American, you know, to have, you know, a meat,
like
a
mayonnaise meat flavored French fries?
Potato chip, you know?
Well, I wonder if the Egyptians would be all about drinking Tehenket. I wonder if it sells well in Egypt. You know what I mean? Like if they're drinking this and going, oh yeah, man, this is the bomb.
Well, if I'm in the desert, like the Peruvians drinking the chicha? Fish is going to be a delicacy. Exactly. You know, it's like, that's going to be like a rare thing to be able to have fish in the desert. So if you want to brew a beer,
because you walk over to the Nile. I don't think so, Mike. I think you can walk right over to the Nile and you can get yourself a fish out the river.
Yeah,
I think that seriously. I think fish goes perfect with this beer. I mean, you know, yeah, it may smell like tuna fish. Okay, I got a palm tree and I got the Nile. Fuck it, I got dates and I got
the
tuna,
palm fruit too. Right, that they use the palm fruit in this.
Yeah,
one? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So before we go too far off track. I think the reason why Tony brought this up is because we're doing our world tour, and he thought, hey, if you're going to swing by Egypt on your world tour, try the Tehenket.
Yeah. We might do that maybe like on the second leg of the tour, but not this first leg of the tour.
I think he was trying to say, don't try the Tehenket.
Well, whatever. Like maybe you could fit that in if you're going to be...
Adventurous?
Adventurous. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. If you're going to be adventurous, then go for the Tehenket if you're in Egypt. You know, do as the locals do, right?
Uninhibited.
Hey, Tony, don't feel bad about having a bad beer from a good brewery. It happens to me all the time with Stone, so I get it that Dogfish may make a beer that you're not gonna like. Doesn't surprise me at all.
Tony even threw in an example from Beer Advocate of what one of the Beer Advocate users their review of it, and it was kind of right along the lines that he explained how the beer was, you know, stinky feet, fish, whatever. Yeah. And so he ends up saying, I'm at a loss if you guys are fearless. Since you are going around the world, perhaps you want to try this when you visit Egypt. But tread softly, grasshopper. Cheers. Happy New Year. Talk to you guys in 2012. Tony at beer411.blogspot.com.
Peace out, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. I'll still try it. I'll be down to check it out.
If I happen to see it on the shelves, I'll pick one up and
as long as it's not $20.
Well, it probably will be. That's a special release. But you know what? Give it a shot.
All right, Dave. What's our next bit of backwash?
Ah, Greg. Every time you give OC me a shout beer out, blog, a baby's Greg, born.
Anaheim.
Yeah. Greg in Anaheim.
Sweet.
Man, this guy's making babies. Every time you give me a shout out, a baby is born. Seriously, thanks. I like the idea of a food pairing challenge. Put a vote up and listeners can vote on what sounds the best. Also, I'm probably the only guy that shouts food pairings at my radio while listening to the podcast. I'm sure people look at me funny when I yell stuff like, Shepherd's Pie! Motherfucking Shepherd's Pie, Toby! When I'm stuck at the light. Or even, Damn, Mike! Go with a whole suckling pig with that bitch! I know I'm weird.
Nice.
But you guys can make BBC 12.
Yeah.
Dude, great. This guy's funny. You guys got to read this guy's blog. This guy's got some jokes.
Yeah, if you guys, any of our listeners that haven't heard us mention the OC Beer blog, check it out. Thanks, Greg, for the backwash. We did mention, I don't know if it was the last show or a couple shows ago where we were doing like a food thing and a food pairing, and I said that I won, and we started, you know, discussing the whole food versus type thing. So, yeah.
That's, food pairing challenge.
Yeah, you do. Mike does pretty good at food pairing.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I just wish we had master chefs that could whip something up for us to see if we're right or not. But
dude, all I know is I nailed the food pairing tonight with my punk IPA. All right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll talk about that more.
All right. Oh, tell them how they can send us backwash.
Backwash, you guys.
Send us backwash.
You can write backwash on the web. You can write backwash on the website. Just click on the little comments.
That's what Greg did. He just hit comment and wrote that shit.
Typed away.
You can also email us backwash at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. And you can drunk dial us. What's that number, Toby?
339-BACKWASH or 339-225-9274.
That's right.
Drunk dial.
Drunk dial, bitches.
We encourage it.
I haven't done it in a while.
No.
I haven't been drunk enough.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call.
The first last call.
First last 2012.
Call. First,
wow. All right. Toby, what you got?
Let's see. The Innis and Gunn rum cask. It ended up, the aromas towards the end of the beer ended up reminding me of the beach. I was picking up stuff like suntan lotion and vanilla and rum. So it's almost like it made me think of like sitting on the beach drinking rum, you know, like a rum and coke or something like that. So I am going to give it a 3.5. It's good. It's different. It's very different. I've never had a beer like this before. It's a rum flavored beer. It's crazy. So yeah, 3.5. And my one word is rummy.
Rummy.
Yeah.
Like the game?
Not the game.
Like the beer.
The beer. Rummy. Like the beer. And for the Coniston Bluebird Bitter, I know that I probably made it sound really horrible. Gina took a sip. She didn't like it at all. It's very bitter.
Oh, sir. Didn't like it.
It's very bitter for a typical English beer. It's dry. It ended up getting a lot more sweet in the end, a lot more floral. Not so bitter towards the end. I enjoyed it. I actually thought that it wasn't bad. I'm gonna give it a 3. I'm in between a 3.5 and a 4, so I'm gonna say 3.75.
Nice. Pints.
I know we don't do that very often, but I can't quite give it a 4.
Dude, we're not even doing American beers, so I think we can bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll do 3.75 to 3.75, because it's more of a English thing rather than a metric thing, you know?
My one word is Laundry.
All right. Wow. Well, you know, with my beers, the first one I had was the Witchwood Brewery's Hobgoblin. What this beer reminded me the most of is sitting in like a pub, like, well, in particularly like an Irish pub that I used to go to all the time called
Blarney Stone.
The Blarney Stone. And it's the kind of beer that you could drink all night long and not remember the next day. And that's pretty much what describes this beer. Because I really don't remember what
it tastes
like now.
I don't know what I drank last night, but I know I drank a ton of it.
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't taste like much now, you know. But it wasn't anything all that great. Yeah, I could drink it all night long. Nothing fantastic, nothing horrible. But just like Lionel Richie, I can forget about it and move on, you know?
Just like Lionel Richie and the Commodores, I can forget about them and move on.
it's an okay beer. Like I said, nothing great, nothing bad. I mean, it's like, yeah, it drinks easy, which is good. You know, it's not, I didn't have to like power it down or anything, or, you know, but anyhow, for its drinkability, I got to give it a little bit more of a rating. So that'll pump it up a little bit. So I'll give it a 3, you know, it, probably not something I'd ever drink, you know, nothing I'd ever buy, you know, like this was given to me. I'd drink it again if someone gave it to me. If I was in a pub and they had it, yeah, I'd probably drink it all night long and drink a bunch of, and sing a bunch of songs and, you know, totally forget about
karaoke.
Whatever it is that's on my mind. Yeah, you know. But yeah, so it was, meh. My word for this, meh.
Meh.
M-E-H. Meh. Now, on to the BrewDog Punk IPA. This is interesting because it started off like these aromas were amazing. I'm like, wow, I got really excited for it. You know, I got a heart on and everything. I'm really happy about this beer. And then it
was Craftus Erectus
over tropical fruits.
And then when I saw when I tasted it, it was like I was going down on Cyndi Lauper and it fell apart.
God. Why? I don't even know what to add to that. I have nothing.
I think you said it all, Mike.
That being said, I think I really nailed the food pairing on this. Because I had some leftovers in the fridge. You know, something that was made, I don't know, a couple days ago. It was some sort of pasta with peppers and shrimp. I think I originally said something kind of vegetable-y, you know, or maybe some Chinese shrimp or something, or shrimp with lobster sauce. The shrimp pasta with the bell peppers and the peppers and everything went perfect with this beer. Great. You know, the beer's not very strong. It's a very light IPA. It's not in your face. And I really don't know why they called it the punk, you know, but it's, you know. And that being said, it did warm up to me a little bit as, you know, the more I drank it. Maybe I'm a little more intoxicated than I was earlier, but, you know, at only 5.2%, I don't really feel like much. But aside from all that, it was an okay IPA. Much better than the big in-your-face IPAs that I always bitch about. So I'm going to add a little bit more to that. I'm going to come in at a 3.5. 3.5.
All right.
For the punk.
All right. Your one word. Cyndi Lauper.
Fruity, you know, and on with their interesting note thing, they had like their little extra of whatever. What did they call it, Mike? They had BrewDog had like a little something extra or whatever.
Oh, what they call it, the twist.
The twist, yeah. On their twist, they call this hopped with bucket loads of our favorite hops. I don't know exactly what their bucket load is, but their buckets must be like little tiny, like little buckets, like that could fit like maybe a cup, because there are not a bucket loads of hops.
Like sandcastle buckets.
Not even a sandcastle bucket. Like here, I've got a little bucket here that holds my paper clips. And that's about the size
like
of the bucket
a Dixie
of hops
cup.
I think they put. Yeah, a Dixie cup bucket. So, Anyhow, it does smell great. It's not a bad IPA. It's not in your face. Don't expect that. But you know what? If you want to introduce somebody to an IPA, this might be the one to do it to. Anyhow, 3.5. That's my rating.
All right, so for my pipe ratings this week, let's see, we'll go to Scotland. For my Brewdog, Paradox, Macallan. Very interesting beer. The sherry cask thing is what drew me to this beer. It's why I grabbed this one. Very interesting aromas and flavors. Expensive beers, like a 12 ounce for like $11. Normally, I think like 16 or 17. But it didn't disappoint. I mean, it was expensive, but I'm going to say I kind of almost got my money's worth here. I'm going to give this one a 4.5.
Wow.
Not perfect, but still awesome.
Ding, 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 ding.
I just want it to be a little, just a tiny bit bigger body. Just a little bit more.
A little chubbier.
And it would be absolutely perfect for me. For the one word, raisinette, because it was kind of the first aroma kind of right off the bat was the raisinette. So that's my one word for that.
Great.
For the Samuel Smiths, Yorkshire Stingo.
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire. Yorkshire Stingo. Very interesting, too. All kinds of different aromas and flavors in this one. Had a little bit what I didn't mention on my tasting flight, but it had that little bit of Anderson Valley buttery maltiness to it.
Yeah.
My one word for this is the toffee tart. I know it's two words, but that's what I do here. I can break the rules because we made them. For this one, I'm going to give a 4.5 as well. And for the same reason, I just want it to be a bit bigger. Just a bit. Just a little bit more richer mouthfeel. The flavors and aromas were just, I mean, they're for both beers were just great. But I just wanted to have a little bit more body in something like this. But on the other hand, it bumps up the drinkability. So still, that 4.5, not perfect, but still awesome. Arguably, controversially, the best rating here on the Beer Coast podcast.
Really?
So, just in case our listeners were wondering, they can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Untappd, Google Plus, and they can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or also on Callisto.fm. You can also listen to us, directly on the website as well.
And don't forget to check out our website if you haven't already. It is wiggity.beercoasterspodcast.com. While you're there,
can you explain that European listeners? Can you explain that?
I can see some German guy wiggity dot.
No, it's wiggity is in replace wiggity of the www. So instead of saying www, we just say wiggity. So it's,
is that like boogity 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 when the NASCAR rates start?
Yeah, but this is wiggity.
Kind of the same thing.
Wiggity dot beercoasterspodcast.com. When you're there at beercoasterspodcast.com, check out the shop link, buy some swag, help support the show, help us travel around the world, a little extra cash in our pockets to buy some more beer.
Or you can even send us some beer.
For your enjoyment. Or you could be like Malt Porter and send us some beer. Yeah. Just hit us up with some backwash. You can buy some shirts and signs and stickers and things there at the shop. Check out our brews paper. It's right there at the top of our website. Click on the brews paper link. Check out some beer related stories daily.
Is that like the sipping beer stories?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah?
No.
No.
I think he should be making more of an appearance, I think, this year. See if we can drag him off the reservation.
Beer Coasters New Year's resolution number one. More sipping beer stories.
Yes.
So tell your children. Tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Come on over here and listen to the Beer Coasters podcast. Thanks for listening.
Support your local brewery, brew pubs, beer bars, all that fancy schmancy stuff. Drink local, because local is fresh.
That's right. And, of course, don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
Shout out to all our backwashers, Tony and Greg, Malt Porter, and David. which I don't think we've heard from, but is part of the Swedish Beer Geek clan, and we do appreciate the listenership, if you will.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to Crazy Dave for doing the show this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this wonderful world tour of ours.
And I want to give a quick shout out to Brewing Some Fun on Twitter. @brewingsomefun.com. Check them out. Cool. Cheers.
A reminder to all our listeners out there, whether it's American or European.
American.
Or anywhere on this lovely planet of ours. This is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers.
And we can say cheers this week because we're in England, in Scotland. Yeah. And they say cheers.
Cheers.
Cheerio?
No, cheers. Cheerio?
I think we just lost a couple English listeners.
Yeah. A couple.
Tune in next week when...
Where are we going to be next week? We don't even know yet.
I don't know. Yeah, it's still Germany, kind of up for debate.
Denmark.
We gotta Dana. Replace the radiator in the van, and we'll see what country we're gonna end up next. We're not
somewhere
quite
in
sure,
Europe.
But yeah, it will be somewhere in
yes.
Europe.
The Czech Republic.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace out. Damn, I think this is a chick beer.
English? You think this beer is English? You're fucking crazy. You got your head up your arse.
Yeah, this, wow.
Well, Hobgoblin could potentially sound like a sexual favor.